Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 17th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Lenten blessings be upon you as we are making our way through this season. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. Those of you who have been with us for a while, and those, maybe this is the Sunday when you found us for the first time. However it is, wherever, whenever it is that you've found us, we're just absolutely delighted here at the Beach Church that you've made your way here. It is our practice to begin worship together in a spirit of thanksgiving, and we do that first by taking in a breath, the breath of life. So do that with me, please. Find yourself as relaxed as you can be and take a breath. And another. And as you breathe, be reminded that what you take in is the breath of life. The breath of life, which is a gift from God. And give thanks to God for each and every breath. And as you thank God for your life, thank God also for those things that are best in your life. It may be in this moment that you have to think a little harder, but pause. Think about the people in your life that are precious. Think about opportunities you've had in your life that are wonderful. Think about the love of God that we have through the person of Jesus. Call all of these things to mind, and as you do so, and as you continue to breathe, turn your face toward the heavens. Give thanks to God for it all. And in this posture, with all of these good things in mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in the digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin on the left margin of where you found today's podcast. There's a little area that says sermon notes just below there. There should be an icon that you can click on or tap on, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. God of suffering and glory, in Jesus Christ you reveal the way of life through the path of obedience. Inscribe your law in our hearts, that in life we may not stray from you, but may be your people. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from John's gospel in the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, It remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us, teaching us and inspiring us. Help us to hear what it is you have to say to us. Help us to truly discern this voice that comes from heaven, so that you would be glorified. We pray, O God, that you would protect us in this time of consideration. You'd save us from distraction and misinterpretation, so that we could hear clearly what it is you are saying to us in this hour. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, and we say, Amen. Friends, on this, the fifth Sunday in Lent, we are blessed by this reading in John's Gospel. One of the many blessings we receive, at least I certainly have received this week, is it gives me a sense of orientation, and it prepares me in my mind for next Sunday, where we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, as we refer to it, the beginning of Holy Week. See, what has happened here is we jump in to this story right after the story of Palm Sunday. Jesus has made his triumphal return. The crowds have gathered and they wave the palm branches. And Jesus enters the city to shouts of Hosanna. Well, that parade has ended by the time we pick up today's reading. It's a massive crowd. Now, there's always a massive crowd in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. But what's going on with this crowd? This crowd is bigger, and there is more of a buzz in the air and a tension in the air because of Jesus' presence. And one of the reasons there are so many there is because of something that John tells us about in the 11th chapter, just before his telling of this story. John tells us of the story of Jesus' friend Lazarus being called forth from the grave, brought back from the dead. And that word is out. Of course it is. Can you imagine what that would be like? Imagine that your neighbor across the street, across the hallway, someone in their family has died. And they gather to grieve. Maybe it's a traditional Irish family and they're having a wake in the home. And the priest comes by. And then you hear a commotion. The one that they have lost to death, so they imagine, is now alive. And it's the priest that's done it. The rabbi has done it. That's what these people witness. And that's not something you just go, huh, that was a thing. And you go home and have dinner. No, you tell everyone. Because you saw it with your own eyes. There were hundreds, perhaps, of eyewitnesses to that event. Credible. Witnesses that corroborated what happened. And so that story just spreads. And by the time it's time for the Passover and Jesus enters the city, the crowds know he's coming. And maybe if someone was on the fence as to whether or not they were going to make the trip, they do. And perhaps even those who are not there for the Passover want to come and see what will happen when this miracle-working rabbi comes to town. And so we have the story of these Greeks that are part of this crowd. Interesting, right? This is not some in-group. These are people from the outside world. And the shouts of Hosanna have died down. Jesus is getting ready to teach publicly. And we get a feeling for the tension that's in the air just before the beginning of today's reading. If you look at verse 17 in chapter 12. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they had heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees, who were not thrilled at all by this Jesus and the impact he had on the people, the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." People from all over were there to see him. Any control that they imagined that they had over these people, they could see it slipping through their fingers. And the only thing that they could think to do about the problem of Jesus would be to kill him, to be rid of him. And while they were at it, to get rid of his friend Lazarus too. Some of the other stuff they might be able to explain away, but a man called out of the grave, now this is a different thing. And so we pick up today's reading. Now among them were these Greeks. This word had gotten so far out that even the Greeks were interested in what Jesus had to say, and they maybe make their way to the front of the crowd as they talk with Philip and Andrew. And Jesus uses this as his last public moment to teach. And he begins by saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus is orienting that crowd. Certainly Jesus is orienting me and I pray us. Jesus is preparing us for what we are about to experience as we move through this last week of Lent and into Holy Week. Jesus is also, as I consider this text, helping them look backwards. Jesus calls Lazarus from the grave. Lazarus dies. And what a miserable thing for him to go through and for his family to go through. But then he is risen from the dead. And the crowds come. They're made aware of who Jesus is. That certainly, if nothing else, that there is something powerful that moves through him. Fruit is blossoming. Seeds, at least, are being planted. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, unless it dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. They only knew what had happened so far, but there were going to be events that come along that those who remember this public teaching would go remember when he said this. He was talking about himself. And he went on to teach, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Again, something that would be hard in his presence and in the initial hearing, hard to understand. But John blesses us with this gospel. Who in this story loves their life? The scribes, the Pharisees, the elites. They have their degrees and they have their lecture circuit and they have the best seats at the tables and they offer the pious prayers and they're given authority. And they love it. It's a good life. This rabble-rouser, this Jesus, is turning all of that on its head. And they're going to hang on to this good life of theirs that they love. They need to keep it. It's theirs. They've earned it, so they imagined. But the more they try to hang on to it, the more it comes in and weighs them down and crushes them. But Jesus then says, those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Those who love their lives in that example have a house built on sand, on reputation, on youth and vitality, on a keen mind and intellect, on a rich bank account. All of that is dust in the wind. But those of you who can let go, those of you whose attachments are few, those of you who may find a bit of struggle in daily living, are those of you who have found in your life a perspective on earthly things that allows you to live your life with open hands. Blessed are you. Those of you who can let go of all of it, those of you who will lay down your life to help a friend, you're standing on holy ground, friends. You're standing on holy ground. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Where is Jesus? He's in the places of love and compassion and healing and justice. So if you find yourself in acts of service, if you find yourself alongside the outcast, if you're amidst smelly, uneducated people that the world has discarded, know that you are on holy ground. When you stoop to help, when you ask someone, how are you doing? And you wait and listen for the answer. And when you get that answer, if there is help that you can give and you turn and you offer that help, such is the kingdom of God. There Jesus is also. It's not the pious one who offers a prayer as he passes by. It's the one of compassion, of passion, the one who will suffer with you, come alongside you in your need. That is the kingdom of heaven. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Jesus in the presence of those who can let go of their life. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Again, the God place. And so Jesus, standing in Jerusalem, in the midst of that crowd, knowing that there are people in that crowd that seek to take his life, and that's how this thing is going to play out, he then says, "Now my soul is troubled." His full humanity on display. This is not easy for him. He knows that coming in pure righteousness is going to get him killed. "Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No, I can't. It's not even possible. It's for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then this moment happens in this crowd. Jesus says this, "Father, glorify your name." This kind of public prayer that he offers. And the answer to the prayer comes, as Jesus will tell us, not for him, but for those who can hear it. "Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him." Some heard that voice clear as a bell. And for others, it was just noise. Those who came seeking Jesus, those who knew they stood in the presence of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, those who could hear this teaching about giving up one's life, they heard the voice from heaven. Jesus points to God. Jesus glorifies God. And I know it. And he is my Savior. And then there were others who were maybe just curiosity seekers, the ones that read the story in the paper and they wanted to get a selfie with Jesus. It was all noise. But the ones who were ready to give up their lives and follow, they heard this voice. I came across a wonderful teaching, and I'll try not to go too long here, but I think this is something that you ought to hear. It's from St. Cyril of Alexandria. And it's in his reflection on John's gospel. He says this, "Death could never have been defeated except by the death of the Savior, nor any of the other sufferings of the flesh. For unless he had felt dread, human nature could not have become free from dread. Unless he had experienced grief, there could never have been any deliverance from grief. Unless he had been troubled and alarmed, no escape from these feelings could have been found. Every one of the emotions which assault human nature can be found in Christ, so that they may be thoroughly subdued by the power of the Word dwelling in flesh, thereby changing the nature of man for the better." In the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the Word of God written on a page, the Word of God that comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, our experience of the created order, which comes from the Word of God, when we submit ourselves to that Word, when we give ourselves over to it, we're changed, we're new creatures. We have a different nature. Our nature is changed for the better. Our nature becomes eternal because our lives are infused with truth. It's really good news, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We pray that as we seek your face, as we call out your name, as we approach you, our God, Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and when we're honest, when we confess to you our sins, When we confess to you, there are ways that we love our lives. There are ways in which we love our lives that are unhealthy. They're not godly. Help us to put those things away. Help us to cast them off and cast them out, to die to them, if you will, so that we could hear the voice of our shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who calls us, leads us out into the green fields. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Help us to hear this sacred story as we move through Lent, as we come into Holy Week. Help us to hear and see all of these events. Help us to understand them with your mind, to see them with your eyes, to hear them with your ears. Come, Holy Spirit, come. God, we thank you. We thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for life itself, for its mystery and its complexity. Help us to hold this gift with open hands so that we could give thanks to you for it, so that we could share it with others, that we could love the way you loved, that we could weep the way you wept, that we could serve the way you served, that we could follow you. And you know us. You know the world we live in. The petty tyrants, the elected officials, those who love their life, O God. Those who cling to it with both hands and can't loose their grip on power, on prestige, on reputation. God, I pray, come alongside them. Show them who they are. Preach this gospel message to the center of their soul so that they might open their hands, that they might learn about grace and peace, that they might learn about your love through the gospel of your Son, our Lord Jesus, so that they might come to know him as Savior and Lord, and not just in the corridors of power, O God, but all around the world for those who have been broken on the wheels of living. Send your angels, your agents of mercy alongside them to feed them and to clothe them and to help them. To feed them eternally. That there's more to our compassion than the material goods that we provide. That our charity is motivated by you, O God, by an eternal love. And you know the stuff of our hearts. You know our prayer lists. The things we worry about. The things we're hopeful about. And so we take a moment as we sift through our thinking in these lists, O God, and as we're able to name them, we hand them to you, that you would consider them and bring your healing where we need healing, where you bring clarity where we need clarity. You'd bring resources where we need resources. God, in your mercy, hear us as we come to you in prayer. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the saints and the unnamed faithful that have come before us, and they've given us a gift. They've given us our scriptures and our prayers and our traditions and our songs. And among them is this prayer that you taught your disciples. They came to you and they asked, Lord, how is it that we should pray? And you said, pray like this. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray we do so with a renewed conviction to follow in the way of Jesus, to hold all things loosely, and thereby glorifying God, our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.